What an amazing video. I mean, how moving. I want to start just with a prayer of thanksgiving for the moms that each of us had. God, thank you for the mothers in our lives, the moms, the stepmoms, the women you put into our lives to raise us and fill us with the dreams that we would live out. Thank you for the hope and the comfort and the love from each of them. Help us today to celebrate them well, to remember them well. In your name, amen. Hey, the great Abraham Lincoln is quoted as saying this. He said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." And man, isn't that true for the vast majority of us? That so much of who we're becoming as a person, whether we're 16 or 60, it traces its roots back to that amazing woman who raised us, right? It is just a special relationship. I don't know if it's the fact that she carried us in her body for 40 weeks, right? I don't know if it's the fact that she's the one predominantly getting up with us in the middle of the night when we're infants and children. And shake your heads, yes, dads, because you know that's probably true. I don't know if it is the amazing sensation of a mom hug, right? Like, remember what it felt like to hug your mom. Maybe you hugged her this morning. The love, oh, the joy, the comfort of a mom hug. Oh, it's a powerful thing. I don't know what it is, but I wonder what makes a mom. What are the ingredients? What's the recipe? What's the DNA? Well, that's the very question we're answering today through analogy of a wardrobe, okay, the clothes that we wear, all right? And we all have wardrobes at home, some nicer than others, but God is going to give us in the Bible this analogy in a book called Colossians, and it's going to be this idea of putting on clothes, okay? And as I read these, again, it doesn't say these are a mom's clothes, but man, does it sound like my mom and all the moms that I've had the pleasure of knowing, all right? So the first point here is going to be to allow God to clothe you. And these first three garments are going to be kind of the underlayer of the wardrobe. These are things that, like, if faith is important to you and you're like, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus, then these are things that are just true about you, well, whether you want them to be or not. Okay, so we're going to pick up Colossians 3, verse 12. It says this. It says, "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved." And we're going to look at those three words, elect, holy, and beloved. And maybe you're thinking of elect. You're like, Ryan, I don't remember running for like a spiritual office or campaigning. I don't remember election night. I don't remember any of that. Like, how am I elect? Well, that word in the Greek is chosen. And don't we all want to be chosen? Do you remember junior high? Go back. Junior high, right? You're in gym class. The teacher comes in, the PE teacher, and he or she has this like bag over their shoulder, you know, and they're like, "All right, people, it's dodgeball day. All right, we're doing dodgeball," you know, and a little part of you cringes. You're like, "Ah," you know, and they pour all the balls out on the floor, you know, and then they pick the two most athletic kids in the whole class. They're like, "Okay, Thunder, you and Zeus, you're our choosers today, all right?" And Zeus and Thunder start picking kids by simply their arm strength, right? It's like public humiliation playing out in front of all of your peers. You're like, "Please pick me, Zeus." You know, you're like flexing, trying to look a little stronger. But there's always that last kid or two that like sort of get chosen, but they're sort of just the last ones. Well, friends, right out of the gate here, God wants to remind all of us, but in particular you moms, that you have been chosen. The Bible says it implicitly and clear and pretty direct. In John 15, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." That is, if faith is something that's important in your life, then you can thank God because he picked you. And the implications of that are pretty cool. It means that he picked you to be his daughter, moms. It also means that he picked you to be the mother to the children in your life. Whether you came at that through birth, adoption, marriage, he chose you for them. Because here's what I know about parenting. Sometimes in parenting, you have those moments where like you don't know what to do, you're uncertain, and you start asking that question of like, who am I, God? Like, who am I to like raise these kids? I don't have all the answers. And then they get to be teenagers and the questions become like, why me? Right? Like, why me, God? You know, like this is hard. And God's saying, well, because I chose you. I chose you for them. Those little rugrats, chose you for them like a hand in a glove. Like peanut butter and jelly. You guys go together. So you're chosen. The next garment we put on here is it says you're holy, all right? And this one can be challenging, right? Like I think about it and I'm like, Ryan, if I'm, you know, I'm a lot of things. I don't know if I put holiness at the top of the list all the time, right? If I'm being honest. Wednesday when that guy caught me off in traffic and I laid on the horn and started screaming things, you know, the windows were up. But not sure holiness would be like, you know, top two or three. Well, here's the good news for a guy giving a talk on clothing, okay, is that our holiness has nothing to do with what we do according to God. He says it this way. He says he clothes us with his holiness. I mean, check this out. So in Isaiah, if you follow Jesus, this is something that's a part of your life. It says, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. So salvation is just like eternal life, heaven, right? You're saved from death and dying. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness. That is like a buy one, get one free sale, people, when you believe in Jesus. You get salvation, eternity, but you also become holy because you're clothed in the holiness of Jesus. So moms, stepmoms, whether you feel it or not, if you follow Jesus, you are holy. Tell your husband more. Third is you are beloved. All right, and I love that God goes all Shakespearean here on us. He's like, you're beloved, right? He says he loves us a lot in the Bible, but beloved to me, it's better, okay? Because you have your loved ones, right? You got like your crazy cousin, your aunt, your Uncle Carl with the wooden foot. You know, your loved ones that you're like, oh, I love them. They're at family reunions, you know. And then you have your beloved. Beloved is deeply chosen. Deeply chosen. Raise your hand if you're married. Shouldn't be a pop quiz, people. Come on. You should know this. If you're married, you are sitting next to your beloved that once in your life you deeply chose this person. This is the kind of person you would die for. And God is saying, moms, whether you're knucklehead husbands like me do a good job of making you feel beloved, or your children do a good job of making you feel beloved, he wants you to know that to him, you're his beloved. He died for you so much love for you. And those are the first three. Those are ones that you get for the price of admission, just for following Jesus. Second point is put on a mother's wardrobe. And I want to just lay out a little distinction here in that verse. So the first three are these things that the Bible says are just true of us. They're identity things, that like you are elect or chosen, you are holy, and you are much loved. You're deeply chosen, okay? Here, in a minute, we're going to start talking about putting on some garments. And that's going to sound a little more like stuff I need to do. what I love about the Bible is when it gives us instructions for things to do, quite often, first, it reminds us of our identity. Okay, so moms, keep that in mind as we start talking about these garments to put on. And it's so important to live in the fact that you are chosen, you're holy, and you're beloved. But what are these garments? Well, much like your wardrobe at home probably has garments for different uses, your bathing suit for the beach, your coat for the mountains. This wardrobe is going to have a few selections, all right? And the first one is this, garments of tenderness. The moms are tender. Verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, there's that identity piece. This is who God says you are, if you're one of his children. Now he's going to give us some instructions. Put on tender mercies and kindness. Well, what is tender mercies? It sounds like a George Michael song from the 80s, doesn't it? It's like, tender mercies, right? Like it sounds kind of cheesy. What does that mean? Well, you get mercy Well, tender here, it's this Greek word that's going to pop up behind me. Phlegon. I don't even know how to pronounce that thing, but it's pointing to the gut. Quite literally, the bowels, that mercy you have from the pit of your stomach. The phrase I connect with is deep compassion. That moms, you have this big love for your kids. You love big. You got big emotions when it comes to your kids. You feel it. You got connect with them well. Like it is from the pit of your stomach, right? You know you do. I think of this in our family and how it plays out. So a month or so ago, I'm working in our bathroom on a sink, okay? It's not draining. It's clogged with hair. Obviously not my hair, right? I'm working on it's draining. I'm the only one home, and I hear one of my daughters come in the front door, okay? And they're 20 and 18. Doesn't matter which one. But she comes in, and from the second she walks in, I know that she's upset. Okay, I hear, Mom! And I'm like, oh, no. Mom's not here. I'm upstairs, you know, and I hear her come stomping up the steps. She's our stomper, and she gets into the bathroom, and I can tell that she's been crying, and she's clearly, like, upset about something. So I'm doing my very best here, people, to convey some tender mercies, right? I'm like, oh, that sounds terrible. I'm so sorry, and I'm trying to be empathetic, you know, because I love her, and I do care about this stuff, and I give her a dad hug, which apparently isn't as strong as a mom hug, okay? Because she's just kind of like, I think I'm just going to talk to mom, you know? And I'm like, no! Oh, that moms, you have this way of just loving big, deep compassion for your kids. And what's amazing is it's from Jesus. It's one of his traits. That all of these garments we're going to talk about today are traits of Jesus that we see. There's a moment where he is looking out across a multitude of people, his children, and it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion, tender mercy, this deep compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And I read that verse to you to kind of set up the idea that each of these garments is an attribute of Jesus. Wish I had time to give you a verse for each, but I don't, but there's one. But more so today, moms, I want to remind you, and many of you are probably sitting here today and you're weary, right? You're tired. Momming's hard. Let's be honest. You're working, you're coming home, you're racing to PTA meetings, you're trying to keep the kids' schedules going, you know, you might be working at home. Like, it's really easy to get weary. Or maybe you're sitting here and you're scattered. You're just, I don't know what to do about this. You know, as I alluded to earlier, teenagers are hard, and you're like, I don't know what to do about the situation. Adult kids are hard. What the heck? And you're just feeling weary and scattered. I want to remind you that in the same way you have those deep, tender mercies for your kids, that deep compassion, that when Jesus looks at your life right now, he feels it for you, that same tenderness exists for you. So that's the first garment of tenderness, is the tender mercies. The second is kindness. And kindness to me sounds kind of lame, I'll be honest. It sounds kind of like, just be like a nice mom, you know, cut up orange slices, just be nice, you know. That's not what it's saying at all, people, okay? Kindness here is this idea of turning those tender mercies, those feelings, those big emotions that you feel into action, okay? Like kindness is like goodness on the move, all right? And moms, you crush this, right? Like you do this a million different ways to Sunday every week. And in our house, I saw this play out. So our kids were little. So think like preschool, kindergarten, and you know, we'd be like packing their lunches. And you know, my day would come where I'm like in charge of packing lunches. And I'm hoping that we have like Lunchables in the fridge, right? You know, I'm talking about those yellow boxes that have all the terrible processed food in them. And I'd be like, Lunchable? Yeah, Lunchable into the backpack, seal it up. Lunch is done, right? And if there were no Lunchables, then it's like, they like bagels, right? Yeah, I'll throw a bagel in there, hunk of cheese, banana. Lunch is done. That's a dad's kindness, typically, right? Like, that was my tender mercies in action. Oh, no, not my wife, okay? Like, her kindness in the moment was much different. She's in there cutting up little pieces of fruit, you know, cutting up little vegetables, putting them in little containers. And she's making a sandwich for him with like a mustard smiley face. you know, and take this little cookie cutter thing and cut it into the shape of a butterfly, you know. And then she's writing a little note. I love you so much, sweetie. Have a great day. She tucks that into the bag and seals it with a kiss, you know, like sends it off with him. That moms, you are so kind. Like this feelings that you have in the pit of your stomach flow out so easily and so often into the lives of your children, into the lives of our families. And we just want to thank you. I mean, it's a beautiful trait that you wear, a beautiful garment. But moms are complex, right? They're not just tender. Oh, no. There's more to this wardrobe. And the next couple are what I call garments of strength. And they're not going to sound like strength at first, I'll just be honest, but I promise they are. Put on tender mercies, kindness, those garments of tenderness, humility, and meekness. Well, Brian, how is humility a strength? I don't know about that. I don't know. Well, if you're thinking that way, you're thinking like a Greek, okay? Because in the original language here, this word for humility was never used in a positive light until Christianity came around. The Greeks used this word to describe a mental illness, literally, because they were all about valor and courage and pride. And if you were like putting yourself behind other people, something must be wrong with you. And then Christianity came around and God turned a vice into a virtue. Because don't you love humble people? Like, don't you love being around somebody that has true humility? It's like a breath of fresh air. And humility is this idea of not thinking less of yourself, right? Like, I'm the worst. I'm so bad. It's not Debbie Downer. It is this idea of thinking of yourself less, that you put other people before yourself. And that, think in the dictionary, that's the definition of a mom, if I'm being honest. Put other people before yourself. Mom. Right? Like moms are second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, like however many people are in your family, that's typically where you're ranking your needs, sometimes to your own fault. But what I would say is I've had the privilege of being a part of quite a few funerals here at Horizon over the last 10 years, and I'll listen as families say goodbye to their mom and their grandmother, and the adult children will stand here, and the grandchildren will stand here, and they'll share, they'll gush over the life of their mom and their grandma. And you know what the number one trait is that I've heard at these funerals? It's this. It's humility. It said, mom was always putting everybody first. She was always like taking care of everybody's needs. She was the last one to eat, right? Like she was always second, you know, and the adult kids will say that, and then the grandkids will say that about grandma. Grandma was always looking out for us, right? Like this is the number one thing that people will say about you more than likely someday to celebrate your life. And moms, stepmoms, grandmas, like this is a beautiful legacy to pass on. This legacy of humility. It makes me think of a Japanese tradition, a kimono dress. So a few centuries ago now, they start this tradition, some families, where they'll pass these beautiful, elaborate, very valuable dresses down from generation to generation. And most of the time, it's the most valuable thing the family owns. And as I think about your role in our families, moms, and how you wear this strength of humility so well, I think of this, that I watch it pass on from generation to generation in our families. And it might be the most valuable strength that you're passing on to your kids, that life of being second. It's very much like Jesus when you read about him in the Gospels. But there's more strength. Moms aren't just humble, they're also meek. And maybe you're saying, Ryan, I took a flyer with you on humility. Like maybe that's a strength, but meekness, right? Like meekness does not sound like a strength. I mean, it rhymes with weakness. Come on, Ryan. Here's the deal. They use this word to describe war horses. Okay, so imagine a war horse, a big, huge stallion, right? Like filled with testosterone. But, you know, now imagine it in a prairie in the morning, right? It's like 7 a.m., there's dew on the grass, powder blue sky, horses bending over to nibble on little tufts of grass. And you're like, it's so serene, it's so peaceful. And then later that afternoon, that same horse is in like a battlefield and it's snarling and snorting and stampeding its way across a field with strength. that this word meekness means strength under control. And man, isn't that a mom? This is amazing strength that most of the time she controls pretty darn well. The Greeks also use this word to describe the wind. You know, some days you don't even know it's windy out. You're like, oh, there's no wind, whatever. It's perfectly flat air. And then other days, a nice wind's kind of comforting. We were at a baseball game yesterday, and it was hot. And every once in a while, a nice little breeze would blow through. Like, sweet. But then sometimes the wind gets scary, right? Tornadoes, hurricanes. Man, the wind has a lot of strength, a lot of power. It makes me think of a quote by Maya Angelou. I'm talking about her mom. She said, to describe my mother would be to write about a hurricane and its perfect power. And man, is that some of the moms in this room that I know. Like they're a little bit scary sometimes. Go from PTA mom to mama bear in like 6.2 seconds. Strength under control. And you know, I'd be remiss if I don't mention my own sweet mom when I'm talking about Mother's Day. So my mom passed away about 16 years ago. And as I think about the traits that I saw in her life and the garment that she wore so well, I think about meekness. That she wasn't the loudest one in the room most of the time. She wasn't the most dominant personality in the room most of the time. But I bet money most of the time she was probably one of the strongest people in the room. That my mom endured stuff that I don't know how she got through. My two older brothers passed away young and she buried two sons. I don't know how you get through that as a mom. I watched her one summer move up to Lake Erie. They bought a little house in Marblehead and she renovated like the whole house by herself. She lived there for months and months and months. And my dad wasn't there. We weren't there. You know, she's painting things, using the belt sander. You know, like she is just a strong woman. That there is this beauty in the garment of meekness that moms wear so well. It's such a strength. The last little section of a mother's wardrobe here, we're going to transition to garments of hopefulness. Okay, and is there a more hopeful creature on the planet than a mom when it comes to her kids? Riley, you guys are so optimistic with your children. Like, I love it. I'm here for it. But I've been hanging out with students and families and children for about 30 years, and every once in a while, there's just a kid that, I'm not going to say he's bad, but he's heading in a bad direction, okay? Like, he's getting in trouble at school. He gets suspended. He might get expelled. You know, he's in juvie, maybe eventually even in jail, you know? And you're talking to the mom, and she's like, you know what? Billy's just going through a phase, you know? And I'm like, no, Terry, that's called a felony. Billy's going through what's called a felony, right? Like, but the optimism, the hopefulness when it comes to your kids, I mean, what a gift for us children that we have this woman who always believes in us. We can be heading down terrible directions, and our mom's still like, you're the best, honey. Like, who doesn't need that? Both men and women. Verse 12, again, put on tender mercies, kindness, those garments of tenderness that moms wear so well. Put on humility and meekness, those garments of strength that you moms and stepmoms wear so well. Put on long suffering and bearing with one another, forgiving one another. I'm going to group these last three kind of together because I think they all go under long suffering. Long suffering is this idea of persistent patience through suffering. Persistent patience through suffering. And as I've observed the mothers in my life, my own mom, my wife, my mother-in-law, my family, all of that, it's like, doesn't being a mom involve a whole lot of suffering along the seasons? I mean, there's beauty and joy and love and all of that as well, but there's a lot of suffering, okay? I watched my wife carry our four kids, thankfully not at the same time. She didn't have quadruplets. And pregnancy looks like suffering to me, I'll be honest. She was not comfortable. There are times where she was in pain. It wasn't probably great for her, you know, self-image. You know, you're like, hey, I'm going to gain 30 pounds out of nowhere. This is terrific, right? Like, it was suffering. And then she goes through 40 weeks of that, 41 for a few of our kids because they just didn't want to leave the womb. And then her big prize is childbirth. Woo! You know? Like, fellas, raise your hand if you watched one of your kids be born. Holy cow. Right, like, who watched that and was like, I could do that. Right, like, no part of us. I watched that and I was like, thank you, Jesus, that I'm a man. Right? Like, oh, gosh. Suffering. And then she would bring this little bundle of joy home and learn to try to feed it with her body, right? And that's suffering. That's not easy. And then it doesn't sleep. And there's late nights. And there's all of that. And what I've seen with our kids, who are 20 down to 10, is like every season for a mom has some suffering mingled in there, right? Junior high, holy cow. You watch kids be mean to your kids, and whew. I don't know if anything hurts more than that. And high school hits, and there's equal challenges. And then we're at a season of life now where we're sending a second daughter off to college, and she's our first to go away. And that's suffering. That's long suffering that moms, you wear so well. It makes me think of an Olympic champion named Gail Devers. She was a sprinter and a hurdler in the 90s. Just a star. She's headed towards Olympic gold. She gets these issues start going on with her feet, and eventually she'll be diagnosed with Graves' disease, which is an issue, a disease that impacts her thyroid. And the way it played out in her life is she started to get horrible blisters on her feet and her extremities. And imagine you're a sprinter and your feet are covered in bloody blisters, right? Like, that's not good. And she would get to the point where they're talking about amputating her feet. I mean, horrible for any of us, but now imagine you're an Olympic-bound sprinter. And Gail was this woman of faith. So all of this stuff that we talk about here at Horizon was important to her. And when you go back and look at her interviews, things she wrote and said, you never get this bitterness, this anger. You get a whole lot of, I don't know what's going on, but I'm just trusting God with this. And I don't like it, but he's gonna be with me. And Graves' disease can be treated, takes a bit. So after about 2 years of treatments, she goes back to running. She'll go on to win 2 to 3 Olympic gold medals and just be an all-star. And why I tell you that whole story is, like, towards the tail end of her career, she starts a family. And she has a baby girl. And a woman who has gone through so much suffering, endured so much pain to train to be an Olympian, who almost lost her feet. About a year into her daughter's life, there's a quote from her that I love. She said, "Motherhood isn't for sissies." And I think I could have just titled my whole talk that today, and it might have been better. It's like, because you're like, yes, holy cow, is it hard? That here this woman who had endured so much has a baby to take care of and then a toddler, and she's like, this is hard. And I'm like, you almost lost your feet. You weren't complaining about that. And she would go on to say, sometimes we fall, sometimes we stumble, but we can't stay down. We can't allow life to beat us down. And moms, you get back up so well. That's so much of life knocks you down. Momming's hard. Just is, but you do this long-suffering thing so well. You wear that garment amazingly well. Maybe you're like me and you hear a talk on things like this, things that are would be good to do, you know, and you start thinking like, oh, I'm pretty good at some of those things and other things not so good at. And you think about parenting, and maybe your kids are in their 40s now. I don't know. And you're looking back, and you're kind of doing that Schindler's List thing of like, I could have done more, you know, and there's some regrets. And I remember meeting with Chad, okay, about 2 years ago, right? He's the somewhat less handsome guy that's normally up here. And I'm sharing with him about parenting and some of the struggles and how it's hard. Some of the areas, somebody just got that joke, thanks. Some of the ways I had failed. And Chad, I think I was spiraling, and Chad's like, hey, just, Ryan, God is like the perfect father, okay? He's like a 10 out of 10, 100 out of 100, whatever scale you're using, and every single one of his kids are screwed up, okay? So like, cut yourself a little slack, you know, take a little break. And what I love about the last garment that I want to tell you about in this mother's wardrobe is it's the best. It's the best of all of them, I think. It's the garment of love. It says, but above all these things, well, what things? Well, above the tenderness, the humility, the long-suffering, above all of that, on top of that, like a belt that just cinches the whole outfit together, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. That mom's love, your maternal love, that love God gave you, that deep compassion, you know, that just flows from you for your kids, that love has a way of smoothing out the rough places. In 1 Peter, the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. That love just helps to smooth it out. So maybe cut yourself a little break as you think about that. I'm going to invite the band to come on out behind me. You know, Mother's Day is a complicated day to speak, I'll be honest with you, because there's a lot of different emotions sitting out here in front of me. Some of you are sitting out there and stuff's good, right? You're a mom and you're loving being a mom, and you still got a great relationship with your mom, and you're like, this is an amazing day. Let's get to brunch. Woo! You know? And some of you are sitting out there and you're like me, where there's a sadness. You're like, I miss my mom. Maybe it's been 16 years, or maybe it's been 16 months, but there's just a sorrow. And some of you are sitting out there and there's a longing that hasn't been met. Or you've just longed to be a mom. It just hasn't been part of your story yet, and that's hard. And, or maybe you're out there and you're an adult and your kids are adults and there's just a broken relationship there. So Mother's Day, it's a hard holiday. Well, I want to end with this promise from Colossians 3. God wants to make you a trade. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I wonder, Mother's Day 2026, right now, what's ruling in your heart when it comes to this whole Mother's Day holiday? Is it joy and happiness and peace? Then run with that. That's an amazing thing to have ruling your heart. Is it sadness and sorrow and regret, anxiety, anger? Well, God wants to make you a trade. Okay, he wants to say, hey, I'll rule. Let my peace rule in your heart. Okay, let my peace rule in your heart. Like, I will stand with you. Okay, I will stand in the gap with you. I will stand by you. Friends, that's what God is inviting you to consider, that he wants to stand with you on this Mother's Day, no matter what emotion you're carrying in. And that trade of his peace for whatever's ruling your heart now, his peace is this, Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a trade. Let me pray for us. God, thank you again just for the moms in our lives. Thank you for their examples, their love, their comfort. Whew, what a legacy. Just lift up the moms and stepmoms in this room. Pray you give them a great day today. Remind them that they are chosen. They are holy and they are beloved, Lord. In your name, amen.